Okay. Andy Teston was a hard-headed soldier. He was stationed in Panama, and he was with an intelligence group for Operation Just Cause. When he boarded the helicopter to go on a mission, there was a chaplain that handed him a Bible. Well, Andy did the unforgivable. One of his buddies was shot, and he decided that he would go after him. And I never bring in the service, but I understand that's a no-no, because he basically put himself at risk. And he was shot. He started screaming and hollering and, you know, thought he was dead. Well, the medics came to him the next day, and he was still crying and hollering. And they said, well, there's nothing wrong with you. He said, what? He said, there's no blood. He reached behind his flak jacket there and pulled out the Gideon New Testament that the chaplain had given him. When he looked at it, the bullet had penetrated to 2 Corinthians 12:9. And if you know 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, you would think that Andy would immediately accept Christ and realize his life had been saved, but Andy was hard-headed. He was later sent to Korea. Well, Andy continued his drinking and carousing. Well, on 1 Fourth of July, he went into town. And the next thing that he remembered was the next morning that the major and the sergeant was waking him up and packing his bags. Said, well, what's going on? He says, you've got to get out of the country. Well, what have I done? You don't want to know. Just get on the airplane and get out of the country. So he stumbled down the aisle of the airplane into the restroom, made a mess of himself, and he was lying there in the bathroom on that plane, and he reached into his bag, and he was looking for some medication that would help him. Thought maybe his officers had put something in there. What he found was this Gideon Bible. When he opened it, it immediately fell to 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Using that toilet as his altar, Andy knelt down and prayed to God, if your grace is really sufficient, cure me of this. And God did immediately. Today, Andy is a senior pastor, and he's led many people to Christ. One Bible furnished by one church, distributed by the chaplains, made a difference not only in Andy's life, but in many other lives where Andy had an impact. Who are the Gideons? Most people know us by the Bibles in the hotel room, if you travel very much. And I have a favor to ask you, is because, as in our country, it's becoming more and more that hotels don't want to put a Bible in there. That if you go into a hotel that has a Bible, on your comment, thank the management of that hotel for having that Bible, because we have more people who object to it than we have people who thank us. And it is a small way that you can help us keep those Bibles in those hotel rooms. Well, the Gideons were formed in 1899. It happened to be two men who did not know each other, but because the hotel they were staying in, they were traveling salesmen, and the hotel they were staying in were full, so they asked them if they would room together. Now, how many of you can imagine rooming with somebody you didn't know and just met? And the answer is probably most of us can't, because we're so used to having our own room and that type. But they did. One of them said, I usually have a devotion. The other one said, can I join you? And so then they talked about, you know, with traveling salesmen, one of the biggest problems with traveling salesmen is, what do you think of when you think of a traveling salesman? You're thinking of women, wine, and song, usually. And basically what they were doing is looking for a way to make traveling salesmen more accountable. And they met together, and they prayed about, what do we call this organization? And God led them to call it for Gideons. And it was, that is how the Gideons formed in 1899. The purpose of it originally was to make traveling salesmen accountable. But there was a Gideon in Superior, Montana, that worked. He was an accountant for the railroad. And he went to the hotel and said, can I bring a Bible in and put it in the office so that if anyone wants to use it, they can use it? And the clerk says, well, why don't you put one in every room? And that the first Bible was distributed in Superior, Montana, with 25 Bibles. Since that time, in 1908, when that Bible was placed in a hotel room, up until, well, worldwide since that date, which if you count it up, it's 110 years, we have distributed over 2 billion Bibles around the world. Now, the Gideons are business and professional men and their wives. We have one objective. That objective is winning the lost to Christ. The only objective, if you look at it. We do it three ways. One is by our personal witnesses, how we live. The second one is our personal witness as far as sharing the gospel with others. And the third one is distributing Bibles into the highways and byways of life where people are in need and will use them. And we have 6 distribution channels that we use, we call it, besides the hotel. We have jails, we have the military, we have the students, we have hospitals and nursing homes and prisons, but we have 6 distribution. Today I'm going to focus on the distribution of the military, because I want to give you a little thing. Now, I will tell you that last year we distributed over 1.7 million Bibles to the military. And so the military, our association with the military actually started in 1940 when a Gideon went to the chief chaplain of the Navy and the Army and asked for permission to give it to any of the men and women in the armed services that would desire one, because we don't give them to people who don't want it. They have to want the Bible. Just like the chaplain can tell you that if a guy doesn't want it, well, you say, thank you, because it's only for the people who want it. And, of course, the first order was 50,000 Bibles, and the first distribution was in December the 2nd of 1941, and approximately 5,000 of them went to a place in Hawaii called Pearl Harbor. So they were distributed right there. God is miraculous in that his timing is always perfect, even though sometimes we don't believe it, but it's always perfect. And one of the things that I want to make clear, the Gideon Bible is only a Gideon Place Bible because it is the translations that you use, that, you know, it has everything in it that it has, that your Bible has, except two things. And this is a Spanish one, but if you look in the front of it, it has a little section called helps. And what it does is if a person has a problem, they know where to go. And it tells them not only what scripture to use, it tells them the page number. The second thing that makes it unique is in the back of it. Have you heard of the Roman road? This is a Roman road. And basically, the first one is what? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And it also says what? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died, then you will be saved. You have to pardon my paraphrasing that I didn't. But the fact is, when we hand out a Bible, and I will tell you, these Bibles are only handed out two ways. Either with a Gideon or with a chaplain. We don't give them to churches to hand out. We don't give them to other groups because we hand them out. So when I tell you that last year we distributed 87 million Bibles around the world in over 200 countries, every one of them was individually placed either by the Gideon or by the chaplain. And when I say chaplain, I'm not talking just about military. I'm talking about prisons. I'm talking about hospitals. And I'm talking about, sometimes we have them at different schools. But anytime it's a chaplain, then we will allow them, because so many times we're not available when the chaplain is available, when they need them. So we do it, you know, that way. Let me give you one of the areas that we have focused on has been the military induction centers. At one time, we were able to go to the military induction center out at Fort Lee, and we would go each day and we would offer a Bible to the military inductees. In that induction center, one day is Army, one day is Navy, one day is Air Force, and the other day is Marine. So we would go 4 days a week and we would offer each one of them a Bible. Sometime around 2012, they decided that we shouldn't be allowed to hand them out. And so we came up with a system where we put a rack in the distribution, in the induction center. And the sergeant in charge of the induction would instruct them to go over and pick up a Bible if they wanted one. So they were still available, but I can tell you that the percentage of people that took them went down about 50% because you were no longer placing them directly or offering them directly to them. They had to get up and go somewhere. And we all know that people are more reluctant to do that than they are to if somebody just handed them one. So one of the prayers that we will have is that the induction centers will open to allow us to hand them out. In this area, we really work with the chaplains at Fort Lee, and we provide them Bibles at Fort Lee. One of the other areas that we work with is the VA chaplains. And so we're trying to minister to the men who have already served, and through unfortunate circumstances, in many cases, were wounded and had to be in the hospital. And so twice a year, we go to the military, to McGuire, and offer Bibles to the patients at McGuire. We have a little bit different one. We don't take a New Testament. We take a little bit larger print because a lot of them don't see well. And so we have a little bit larger that we use for the hospitals. But twice a year, we will offer Bibles to the student, to the residents of the hospital. Once a year, our auxiliary ladies, our wives, will go and hand out Bibles to the staff, because the staff doesn't turn over the same way that the hospital does. But one of the things that we also do with the chaplains at McGuire is on the third Wednesday at 1 o'clock of each month, we will meet with them and we will pray with them. And we will talk about the things that they need prayer about. And I will tell you, one of the things that they mentioned when we were there on Wednesday was that they're getting a new administrator. And the administrator has a tremendous impact on how the chaplains work. And they've been very fortunate with the last one, that he has given them a lot of freedom to do what they need to do. And I will tell you, this is something else that we pray in our camp for, and I mentioned it to you, that they are concerned about this new administrator, that he will continue to follow the other administrator and allow them freedom to do what they need to do in order to meet the spiritual needs of the veterans. Let me tell you about Stan. Stan was a second-generation Irish immigrant. He graduated from high school. He lived in Maine, and he decided he would join the Navy. Well, when he went to to his induction center, it just so happened it was at Great Lakes, Illinois, if you're familiar with the Navy. Well, there was a guy there that was what? Handing out Bibles, believe it or not. And he received a Bible. Well, what did Stan do with this Bible? He put it in his sea bag. And it went to the bottom of his sea bag. And every time he changed the sea bag, the Bible changed. But it never came out of the sea bag. For 14 years, he carried that Bible. His life was a mess. He was an alcoholic. His wife was going to divorce him. He was at the end of his rope. He thought about that Bible and he took it out. And I'll just read what he wrote to us. And I will tell you, all of the testimonies I'm giving you have been ones in which people have sent in to our international headquarters. So all of them are people that have received God's word. And we get, I would say, tens of, somebody told me we get probably 70 a week of testimonies. And you would not believe how many people I talk to that you'll never see their testimony, but they came up to me and tell me what the Gideon Bible had meant to them, either in the military or in college or in other places. What Stan wrote is said, "I began to read and found in that New Testament things I never knew before. I found that while I was still a sinner, God loved me and sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And there, 400 feet under the ocean, I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for Jesus and for his precious life poured out for me. I thank God for the word, and I thank God for the Gideons, especially the men who stood in line at the boot camp, giving out Bibles and enduring the ridicule handed out by everybody. So basically, that one Bible saved his life. And we don't know any further what happened with Stan other than that Bible saved him from probably a life of sin, certainly. How many of you are impatient? Most of us want instantaneous success, don't we? If we hand them out, what we want to do is we want to see results immediately. And you know, when we hand up Bibles, many times we see success immediately, especially if you're outside of this country. Because outside of this country, if you hand somebody a Bible or New Testament, they start to read it. If you go to a college, and we'll be at VCU in a couple of weeks, and we'll hand out somewhere in the range of 5,000 Bibles at VCU to the students. Now, that's a small part of the total student population there. But I will say that 99.1% of them, they will do one or two things with that Bible. They'll either put it in their back pocket or they'll put it in their book pack, in the backpack. Very seldom do you see someone that will read the Bible right there. If you go to a foreign country, and I've had the privilege of going to Ecuador, I've had the privilege of going to Guatemala. In a few weeks, I'll be going to Poland to hand out scriptures. When you hand it out over there, you know what the first thing they do? They read it. Because they don't have copies of God's word. Many of them can't afford to have a Bible because of their standard of living. And so they are eager to read God's word. And I will tell you that I was in Ecuador, and we would hand them out at the schools, and they have a double, you know what I mean when I say double session? It basically, they had one group that came in the morning. They had another group that came in the afternoon. So they utilized their school all day long rather than just like we do. We had three girls, and they came in the morning. We handed them Bibles. All day long, they read those Bibles. When we came back at 1 o'clock that afternoon, they wanted to talk to us. And we had a person that spoke the language there, a translator. And they, all three, received God's word, became saved from that scripture that day rather than. And you contrast this to a girl, and I don't know her name, but she had the unfortunate task of cleaning up after her father's death. So she was going through a trunk looking for her father's belongings, cleaning up. And it was up in the attic, so you know how. I know all of you've been through that, and it's not a pleasant task. Well, she opened up this trunk, and in there was a Gideon Bible that her father had received 50 years prior. She started reading it, And she accepted Christ from reading that Bible 50 years after her father had received it. Now, I have no information on whether her father had accepted Christ or not. I just don't know. I just know she wrote and told us that she had accepted Christ from reading her father's Bible that was given to him when he was in the military 50 years prior. We mentioned, Pastor mentioned several ways that we basically, and one of the things that I want to say before I even talk, go any further, we are a unique ministry. And we're unique in that when people donate to the Gideons, 100% of every dollar goes for Bibles. We'll say, how do you do that? Well, the way we do that is that we as Gideons pay the administrative cost of the organization. So we pay a dues every year, about $60, in order to fund the administration so that when we tell people, do you want to donate for Bibles, we can tell them 100% of that will go for a Bible. So there's no, we're not like the United Way or the some of the others where a large portion of it goes for administrative costs. 100% of it goes to for the, you know, transportation and printing of the Bible. When we go to a foreign country, we pay our own way. So they don't give us, they don't come and say, hey, we want you to go, here's your travel voucher. Because we're not doing it. We're doing it to win the lost to Christ. And so we're not, you know, regardless of where we go, I'm a volunteer, just like everybody else in our organization in Virginia is a volunteer. And we do it in our time. One of the things that we do is we have what we call a Gideon card. How many of you send cards? Y'all, none of you send a card? Don't you ever send a card? Well, what we do is we have a card that's free. It doesn't cost you anything, but you can donate Bibles with it. And you can donate one Bible, or you can donate 100 Bibles, whatever you want to donate. And the Bibles are roughly $5, or not roughly, they're $5 a piece. And I'd like to show you a quick video that talks a little bit about the Gideon cards. Thank you. Tom had just gotten back from Vietnam. He was stationed at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Well, he and four of his buddies decided that they were going to go out on a night on a town. So they got a three-day pass, and they checked into the motel there in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Well, Tom was faster than the others, and he got ready before they before they came for him. Well, when he was sitting there, how many of you just, when you've been in a hotel room, you walk around looking for something to read and look, you know. Well, he opened the drawer, and there was a Gideon Bible. Well, Tom hadn't been in church in a long time. So as a lot of us, when we take a Bible like this, we'll do what? We'll flip it open to a page, and we'll just sort of glance at that page. Well, guess what? When he flipped it open, he flipped it to Luke 15, 11 through 32. The story of the prodigal son. The story fit his life to a T. So he kept reading. Pretty soon he had a knock on the door. It was his buddies. He had a decision to make. Do I go out on the town, or do I stay here and read the Bible? He made the decision to stay there and read the Bible. He read the Bible all evening, all night. He read John 3:16. He went back and looked at some of the scriptures that he had memorized when he was a boy. And you know, God tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will return to it. But he sat there and he kept reading. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock on the door. Tom thought it was his buddies coming back. And when he opened the door, there was two North Carolina patrolmen at the door. And they asked him, said, "Do you know these?" And he called out the names of his four sons. I mean, not four sons, his four buddies, I'm pardoning, his four buddies. He said, "Yeah, I know them." He said, "Well, they're all dead." Said they were in an automobile accident. And it took their life. Tom was in shock. He didn't sleep much the rest of the night. The next morning, he got up, went to a small country church, and gave his life to Christ. Somebody asked Tom, said, "What happened to that Bible you were reading?" He says, "I still got it." He says, "I took it with me. Because it was a memory. It saved my life." And you know, sometimes we have circumstances where it saves our life from something tragic. Other times it saves our life from a life of sin. And it has us to change our path. God can use it to whatever is his glory. And all the things that we talk about Gideon's this and Gideon's that. It's not the Gideons. It's God. It's nothing. And I don't want anyone leaving here not recognizing that God is in control. And he's only using the Gideons, and he's using the local church to spread his word. It's not because of any glory for us. It's for his glory. And it's him that uses the Bible. All we do is try to make it available so when the time comes, and when I say we, because it's really a partnership between the church and the Gideons, because we're going into places that the church can't go into. And one of the reasons is we have Gideon camps in over 200 countries. And in those Gideons, they do the same thing we do, distributing the Bible. But they happen to know the country, they know the language, they know the culture, and they're able to go into places. And I'll give you an example. We had the director of India that came over, and he was talking with us. And I said, well, do you like it when the U.S. people come and help you distribute Bibles? And he said, no. I said, well, why? He says, because it only causes trouble. Because the Indian people will take a Bible from another Indian, but if they take it from a stranger or a foreigner, then he says, we never have trouble with a distribution unless it's a distribution that has non-Indian people involved. And so that's one of the reasons why we know that God can use the people in that country that are Christians. And they believe the same thing we believe, because we all have the same set of beliefs. And that Jesus rose, that we take him as our personal Savior. We believe that he died. We believe there's a hell. And I'll tell you, we also believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. So we are conservative Christian evangelicals on that. What I'd like to leave with you is three things that I'd like for you. We live on prayer. Prayer is our main thing. And what we do is we pray for each church at least once a month in our daily prayer and in our weekly prayer. We meet once a week and pray for churches and pray for the Gideon ministry. Besides that, we also have a new program where you can become a prayer partner with the Gideons. Being a prayer partner has no cost involved. They send you an email about four times a year that tells a little bit about the Gideon ministry. So if you'd like to have a copy of it, I'll be happy to give you an application, and you just turn it in. Like I said, there's no cost. One thing that I will say, preachers can't be a Gideon because we're a lay ministry. The second thing is if there's any men that are business and professional men that want to win the lost to Christ, then I'd be happy to talk with them, because we always are in need of distributing more scripture. To give you an idea, I have about in this area, and I'm talking about Chesterfield County, the city of Richmond, and the state fair, which is in Caroline County. Between those three, we will distribute something like 35,000 scriptures in 3 months. And so we give one to all willing students at graduation at the Siegel Center, which is about 10,000. We gave out 8,800 at the county fair to primarily young people and their families. And we will have a distribution witnessing at the state fair, which will be about 15,000. So you can tell we have a lot of work to do. So anyone that is interested, we'd be happy to talk to them about that. The last thing that I'll just mention, Bibles are not cheap, and it requires funds in order to supply. To give you an idea, this Bible right here cost $1.20, which doesn't seem to be a lot individually. But if you went to Ecuador with me in 2013, and where we handed out 488,000 of these, you can see that it was a pretty good bill. So we don't make any apology for the fact, because we can't give them away just by the Gideons. It takes all of us working together to do it. And so the thing, three things, we need prayer, we need members, and we need funds to do that. So we ask you to, we're thankful for your partnership. Thank you, Reverend Moore, that for your support here. And we just thank you for inviting us. And it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them after.